Assalamu alaikum. We were having some technical difficulties, but here we are, alhamdulillah. Welcome back to another live episode of About Us. My name is Nahela Morales, and today I will be answering Q&A for non-Muslims, inshallah. So I'll give it a couple minutes for some folks to start hopping on, and then we'll get started, inshallah. We're just giving it a couple more minutes, a couple more seconds, and we'll get started. Bithnillah. Thank you for joining. Again, my name is Nahela Morales. And today's live talk, we will be addressing some of the most common questions that I get asked as a da'iya. And inshallah, we will get started in a few seconds. If you have any other questions that you want me to answer, please feel free to drop them below and I will answer them, inshallah. Okay, we're gonna get started. I think we'll get started. Just trying to share it as well so others benefit. Inshallah. Okay. So here we go. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Subhanallahi wa bihamdi wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Again, welcome to another episode of About Islam. My name is Nahela Morales. I am a convert. I am Mexican American. And alhamdulillah, I've been very blessed, very fortunate to travel the world and convey the message of our beautiful faith. And so today I will be answering questions that I have been approached with from non-Muslims. So let's get started. The first question that I oftentimes get asked about is, do I feel oppressed? So this is one of the biggest misconceptions that we Muslim women answer or are asked at least once in our Muslim life per se. But I want to really tackle a little bit for those non-Muslims that are watching and that are listening. Islam, as a matter of fact, or something that attracted me personally into this faith was the fact that women have a lot of rights in Islam. Around the 600 CE, women were actually given many of these rights. So we're talking about some centuries ago, about 15, 16 centuries ago. For those of you that don't know, in the US, the right to vote for women was in the 19th century, around the 1920s. And Islam gave the women the right to sit at the table and become part of the conversation. So that puts us about 13 centuries back. Not only that, another right that us women have that many of you may not know is the right to own property. For those of you that may not know, in Europe around 1870, there was a law passed where women, after getting married, they were asked to sign their properties off to their husbands, their spouse. And so there's nothing like this in Islam. Women have the right to own their own property. Women have the right to work. We have the right to work. And one of the most beautiful things is that we have the right to contribute in our homes or keep it all to ourselves. So once we get married, ladies, our money is our money, and our spouse's money is our money as well. So mashallah, alhamdulillah. So I don't feel oppressed. On the contrary, upon embracing Islam, I can tell you that I feel more liberated than ever. The misconception of the hijab being, being imposed on us is a misconception. As a matter of fact, many Muslim women, you know, the hijab is a journey of its own. So many Muslim women are on that journey and have not started wearing the headscarf. Doesn't mean that they're less Muslim. It just means they're on their journey. And so that answers my next question, which is hijab imposed on you? No, hijab actually is not imposed on us. It is, in Arabic, the word fard means obligatory. So it is in the Quran, and Allah, God Almighty, instructs us to cover. But again, this is a decision that each and every one of us makes upon our journey and throughout our journey. So I know that there are sisters that struggle with the headscarf. And for me personally, it wasn't a huge deal because I saw my grandmother wearing, in Mexico, it's called a rebozo. And so prior to going into church, she would cover her head. And so it wasn't so foreign for me. Alhamdulillah, I saw that within my grandmother, my maternal grandmother. But it's not imposed. You do have a choice. It is obligatory. Allah, God ordains it. But again, this is your own journey. And so one of the things that we hope is that we grow in our faith each and every day. And one of the ways to see our growth is to see our obedience to our Creator. So for those non-Muslims watching, no, the headscarf is not something that is imposed on us. It is obviously required of us, but we take our time with it until we completely understand. And actually, before I converted, I was very attracted to the headscarf, and I started playing with the headscarf right prior to converting. I just found it very fascinating to look different. And so I remember the first time I went to Mexico with a headscarf, they thought I was foreign, like from the Middle East or what have you. So there is still a lot of misconception about the headscarf or Islam being foreign. It only belongs to the Middle East. I am Mexican, and so Islam has been spreading, alhamdulillah, all praises be to God, all over Latin America, Europe, you name it, there are Muslims. Another question, as a matter of fact, last Thursday, I actually gave a shahada. There was somebody that contacted me, and one of her biggest struggle with accepting Islam earlier was the next question: do we believe in Jesus? Yes, we believe, respect, and love Jesus, peace be upon him. But the only difference between us and Christianity is that we do not worship him. And so when I was speaking to, her name is Paloma, please keep her in your duas. She took shahada with my son and I last Thursday. I explained to her, right, in a Catholicism, we are taught 3-in-1, and we are taught that he is the son of God. And so we Muslims, we don't believe that God can have children. He is a superior being, and therefore that's the only difference between us and Christians. And once I cleared up that misconception that she didn't have to let go of Jesus, Isa in Arabic, peace be upon him. On the contrary, I explained to her that him and his mother, peace be upon both of them, are very, very special, dear, and respected in our religion. As a matter of fact, chapter 19 is Maryam, And it speaks about his about the miracle birth, and it speaks about his life. And so that tells you alone that we believe him, we believe in him, we respect him, we love him, but we do not worship him. And he actually said not to worship him as well. One fun fact, perhaps that non-Muslims don't know, Jesus, peace be upon him, used to pray like us Muslims. He actually used to prostrate and put his forehead on the floor like we do, and we call that sujood. And so that's prostration. And so that's something a lot of people don't know, that we have more in common than differences. And why do I say that? Because the message that Jesus brought is the same message that all the prophets brought to mankind, or to their people. And so the seal of the prophets is Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And so that is the continuation of what Isa, Jesus, peace be upon him, brought, which was to worship one God. And that's really ultimately what attracted me to Islam personally. The fact that I didn't need any, I didn't need to associate, I didn't need intermediate, I didn't need to go through any saint. I can have a one-on-one relationship with my creator, and that's really what attracted me personally to Islam. The fact that I already had a relationship with an understanding of Jesus just made it even more easy once I learned that there's a whole chapter dedicated to his mother, Maryam, Mary, peace be upon her. Next question. When is the right time to convert? As a matter of fact, this question, Paloma, who embraced Islam with us this past Thursday, asked us. We were preparing to end our 2-hour conversation, and she, I answered all her questions, and she was asking, now what? Now I believe in one God, now what happens? And so I told her, you will feel it. In Islam, in the Quran, it says there's no compulsion in religion. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to have full conviction when it comes to us seeking and asking for guidance. And that's exactly what I told Paloma, Sister Paloma. I said, from here onwards, I want you to raise your hands, supplicate, and ask Allah, God Almighty, to guide you. And that's ultimately what I did. I started asking Allah to guide me to the right path, to guide me. I needed to fulfill a void that nothing could fulfill but Him and Him alone. And so I told her, you will know when it's the right time, you will feel it. And as we were getting ready to close the conversation, she said, I'm ready. And I was so shocked. I said, ready for what? And she goes, for my shahada. And I said, now? And so she says, now I feel that I am ready because I don't know if I will wake up tomorrow. And so you mentioned that, and the rest was history. I called my son, alhamdulillah, and she completely understood. And obviously we went through the five pillars of Islam. For those non-Muslims watching, we do have five pillars that we abide by, which is the first one, the Shahada. Number two is that we pray 5 times a day, and that is very important for anyone watching, born Muslim, revert, convert. It's very important to make sure that you establish your prayer, your salat on time. It's 5 times a day. This is our oxygen. This is our connection with our Creator on a daily basis. And the third pillar is zakat, which is charity. We are asked to give 2.5 of our wealth, and so we do that. We also fast during the month of Ramadan, which surprisingly we are about 6 months away already. Ramadan is around the corner, subhanAllah. And so we fast during the entire month. This is the month where the Quran was revealed. And so it's a very special month for us. No, we don't starve. It's we starve perhaps our stomach, but we fulfill and feed our soul. And one way to do that is by extra prayers, by reading more Quran, by connecting with our Creator on a whole different level. And we hope that we continue that throughout the year. And last but not least, the fifth pillar that I explained to the sister prior to embracing Islam was the Hajj, which I was very blessed. After 12 years of being Muslim, Allah finally invited me to his house, and this is located in Mecca in Saudi Arabia. And so this is the large pilgrimage. This year, before the pandemic hit, I was blessed again to go for my first Umrah. And so alhamdulillah, it is a blessing, and it is an invitation from Allah, from God. So again, when is the right time? The right time, you will feel it. For those of you that are seeking for something better, which is what I was seeking for, something better for myself and for my family, my son. I'm a single mom of one. And so Allah finally guided me into this wonderful way of life. We believe that Islam is not just a religion, it's a way of life. And so the next question that I got was, do I tell my family after I embrace Islam? And it's a two-part question. What if they reject me? So one of the things that we have to be very cautious, and Paloma, the sister that embraced Islam this past Thursday, she ran to tell her mother after. And alhamdulillah, she was not happy, but was content that she was able to do something out of conviction versus something imposed on her. And so she explained to me that prior to her searching, she was Catholic, similar to me. I was born into Catholicism, and I went on a spiritual quest at a very young age, eventually came to Islam. For her, she was born into Catholicism. Her parents converted to Christianity, and she just never felt it. And then she was on a spiritual quest and found Islam, alhamdulillah. The ideal thing is for us to learn. You will know, you have to gauge your family, your relationship with your family. We have to understand that in Islam, our family is extremely important. You're not supposed to cut ties with your family. On the contrary, this is a great opportunity for you to exercise your Islam and your new way of life with your family, and perhaps through those manners and through that light, you know, and that excitement, you will attract them for them to also get curious and eventually embrace Islam, inshallah. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide all of our family. I know that that's one of the biggest du'as that we as converts, reverts, make on an everyday basis. We want our family guided as well. And so the second part of this question was, what if they reject me? And so for those that are watching that are born into the faith, this is a biggie. And also, like non-Muslim family members, if you do have a person, a family member that has embraced Islam or converted, you know, oftentimes we reject what we don't know. So they're not rejecting you per se, because something that I remember when I first went to Mexico, and one of my cousins was very, very upset when she saw me with the headscarf, and she, I believe I mentioned this last time, you know, she said I would never be Arab, and I explained to her that I was not looking for another nationality or another culture. I was actually trying to fulfill that void that only God himself can fill. And so one of my biggest recommendations is that both of you learn this new faith together, both your family and you. If you have any books or pamphlets, try to show them, obviously. And if they're not receptive to that, then with your manners, that's the best way to give dawah to our family members. And then for those non-Muslims that are watching and that perhaps feel upset that they think they're losing someone or a loved one, or that this is a phase and it will go away. Understand that we are all individuals and our needs are all different. And one of the beautiful things about any religion is to respect one another. And so if anything, we need to learn to respect one another. We may not accept our views, whether it's religion, political views, whatever you could think of. But at the end of the day, that individual, if that's your daughter who embraces Islam, that's always going to be your daughter, right? And so it's important to always remember that this individual will never stop being your family member, and that at the end of the day, they're really just looking to be a better person, a better individual, a better neighbor, a better daughter or son, whatever member that has converted to this new way of life. I highly encourage to learn together, to be open-minded, open your heart. I remember coming into the faith, you are on cloud nine and you want to convey this message to absolutely everyone. And so you think that by conveying the message, people will enter the faith, and you get frustrated when they don't. But everybody's spiritual quest or journey is an individual one, and so we have to respect one another. We are instructed as Muslims to just convey the message, and the message of Islam is to worship one God, which for those non-Muslims that don't know, it's actually our first commandment of the Ten Commandments, which is thou shalt not worship anything but me, and I am a jealous God. So these Ten Commandments were given to Moses, not Jesus, Moses. And so I often joke around and I say I'm a better Catholic as a Muslim than when I was a Catholic, because I practiced the first commandment out of the Ten Commandments to the T. That's the one commandment that I don't fall short, because that will take us out of the fold of Islam the minute that we start worshiping anything other than Allah. And so let me see here, any other questions? I'm just gonna read this real quick. Assalamu alaikum, saludos desde Canada, saludos. I'm just gonna say salam and greet in Spanish. Saludos hermana Rosa, gracias por estar aquí y gracias por compartir este espacio con nosotros. So we have people tuning in from Canada, mashallah. Welcome, welcome. If you have any questions, please feel free, inshallah, send them our way and we will try to get to them. Another question that I got was, I think we covered pretty much most of them. But another one that I get, and perhaps I'm going to be doing a video on this, but holidays are around the corner. And so you don't have to believe in a holiday in order to spend time with your family. And that's very important also. So we were talking about earlier about family ties and how it's important in Islam to make sure that you don't break those, and that you are always in contact with your family. And that's one of the best da'wahs that you can give to your family. One of the things that I told Paloma, the girl that just, the sister that just converted, was that, she wants to start practicing those extra manners, those manners and love towards her family, for them to see the difference. And I normally, what I did upon converting is when I would put in a practice or they would see a practice that I was doing, I would always reference Islam. I would always say, Islam says that I need to respect my family. I need to respect my mother. I need to respect my father. And so that's very important. The mother has extra importance in Islam. And so this is all important, And you don't have to directly try to convince or impose. I know when we are new Muslims, we want everyone to get a taste of this wonderful way of life. And so it's difficult because a lot of times our family members, I know in Latin America, is still relatively new. Even though Dawah has been spreading and we do see Islam growing at a very rapid pace in Latin America, it's still kind of foreign. And for those that don't know, they oftentimes feel that it they can't be Muslim, right? Because you are not Arab. And so Islam is for everyone. I want to encourage everyone watching, non-Muslim viewers, to get to know if you have a Muslim member that has converted or one of your family members is married to a Muslim, get to know them. It's beautiful to actually interact, to know the culture, the different foods if they're from a different country. And so we have a brother from Kenya. Alhamdulillah, welcome. And thank you for being here. If you have any questions, inshallah, please feel free to send them our way. Let me see. I had a couple other ones that I just thought they were important to address. So I am very interested in Islam and I see many beautiful things in the religion. But what does Islam say about bad things happening to good people? I believe there's an article for that. And so the best way that I can explain this, there's nothing bad that happens to us. And I'll talk from an individual point of view. The world, I mean, I can't speak for the world itself, but when things are happening to us on an individual basis, for example, I remember when I embraced Islam, I was fired for implementing my headscarf, my hijab. And so what seemed really, really bad, and it seemed like I wasn't going to be able to provide for my family as a single parent, actually became very good with patience and a lot of supplication. I ended up, getting the job of my dreams, which I'm doing today, which is conveying the message of Islam and serving Allah, God, and His creation. I do a lot of humanitarian work. I do activism. I do a lot of things that I'm passionate about. So at the time, I thought it was, wow, it was a huge test. But we got to remember that Allah, Almighty God, will never send us a test in which we cannot handle. God Himself promises us, that a success comes from Him. And so when we put all of our trust in Him and we get closer to Him, then He will ultimately give us success in whatever it is that we are trying to achieve or trying to do. I know tests seem like sometimes endless. But remember that your current situation is not your final destination. This life is temporary and it's not forever. We all have an expiration date, alhamdulillah, so we must make the best of our time here. And so for inshallah, for my non-Muslim family, because we are all family, we all come from Adam and Eve, and that's something that we should all remember. That we all have rights over one another. Our neighbors have rights over us, and so that's another way for my community to remember, to get to know your neighbors, get to know one another. Allah tells us in the Quran that He created us into nations and tribes to get to know one another. So I'm going to go ahead and end on that note, inshallah. I pray that this was beneficial to all of you. I know it was certainly beneficial for me, and I really enjoy personally giving dawah and getting to know other people. I do a lot of interfaith groups where I'm able to learn from my Jewish sisters, Christian sisters. And so it's important, very, very important for us to get to know one another. If you have any other questions, please feel free to put them in the comments and we'll get to them. You're more than welcome to reach out to me. Until next month, thank you so much for being here. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.